You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, August 19th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com as we go steaming through the steamy month of August. For us here in Texas, they said today is going to be the hottest day so far this summer. A lot to look forward to. It's humorous because they keep trying to frame the heat as climate change because we have these people that are coming here from places like California and they think this is something brand new. As somebody who's lived my whole life here, it's like this every year. You just cook in the heat. Well, the Texas heat is not our topic for today to kick your Monday off. Today, we're going to talk about the UK again. And it's not that I mean to be picking on the UK. I'm not. It's just that right now, this Labour government, which has come in, is in serious competition with Liz Truss for... as far as a race to appear incompetent, they're on the road so far to making Liz Truss look like an absolute political genius. It's really breathtaking to observe. These people have not had majority power. They haven't had they haven't been at number 10 Downing Street. And it's like amateur hour. I mean, it shows the way they're handling their problems, and this Labour government has been a lolcow. I mean, it's just one thing after another, and I keep having to come back to it. Now, as we've discussed already multiple times, y'all are probably tired of hearing about it. You know, this is. They have a crisis of legitimacy that's starting to appear. They're in denial. They're trying to pretend like they can still manage this, but it's just getting started. You know, these riots will die down and the protests will die down, but it's inevitable when you're dealing with this level of incompetence at the top, it's inevitable that you're going to have more flare-ups. Now, I've criticize their response to this because of it's so ignorant that they keep pouring gas on the fire. I mean, it's like they're doing the opposite of what they should. And I don't think they're doing that on purpose. I think they're really that inept. It's really something humorous to watch. Now, again, they have a crisis of legitimacy that's just getting started. This is the beginnings of it. It will only get worse. Do you look at this trajectory and say, I think things in the UK are bound to stabilize out. The government's going to find their footing and get to rally support of the people behind their policies. And things will be much better in a year or so. Or do you think it's more realistic to look at the UK, the current status of the UK government, and say, I think things are going to continue to deteriorate. I think things are going to continue to get worse. I think violent protests are going to become more common and not less common. We got an article today. I'm using it from RT, and it actually comes originally from the Telegraph, which is a British media publication, but I'm using the RT version here. And the headline is UK to treat extreme misogyny as terrorism. This is really something because when you have a incompetent and I would say illegitimate regime, an illegitimate system, and we'll get into that some more as we go through this, that cannot solve actual problems, because they themselves are the cause of the problem. They will go out, as we're seeing here, they go out and invent a problem they can't solve, because they got to do something. They can't just sit around and ignore it. They can't actually solve the problem because A, they're too incompetent to do so, and B, they themselves are the ones causing the problem. So what to do? Well, the answer is to go out and invent a new problem that they can solve. Let's go ahead and get into this. The subheading of this article: the Home Secretary has ordered a review of the state's counterterrorism strategy amid rising violence against women and girls, the British paper reports. Extreme misogyny in the UK will be treated the same as Islamist and far-right extremism under a new government plan aimed at addressing gaps in the country's counterterrorism strategy, the Sunday Telegraph has reported. The move comes in response to rising violence against women in Britain. Now, maybe they had the idea that since, you know, these little girls were killed, were stabbed to death, and they're girls. So maybe they had the idea with this that they could frame this up as, you know, this wasn't a problem because they imported the entirety of Rwanda into the country, and thus they're getting Rwandan results. No, the problem is extreme misogyny. Maybe this stabbing incident and, of course, the resulting protests against it, maybe it's the result. Maybe the problem here, you say you don't understand the problem. The problem is extreme misogyny. These little girls were stabbed because of this extreme misogyny. So you see, there's gaps in the counterterrorism laws. It amazes me how words, it never ceases to amaze me how words have no real definition. They have no real meaning, and thus they mean whatever the government wants them to say they mean. What is this extreme misogyny they're talking about, and what does it have to do with the problems they're facing in the UK? It's like the way they use the term far right. They talk about far right extremists, but nobody will say exactly what constitutes far right. If the far right is such a problem in Britain, you would think the British government could at least come out and give the people a textbook definition. You know, one paragraph, hell, one page, if that's what they need, or whatever they need, they should give the British people a literal definition of far right. If the democracy values of who we are says that the people have any sort of say in anything, which of course we know they don't, the people are owed a definition so that they can decide whether the far right is such a problem. They should at least know what the government is talking about, so when the government explains to them what a problem things like extreme misogyny or the far right are, what are these problems? What does this mean? How do they plan to address it? Of course, it's not surprising that their answer to this is going to be yet another intentionally vaguely worded speech law, which essentially can be applied however they choose to do so. Let's get back to the story. Home Secretary Yvette Cooper has ordered a review of the strategy to combat violence against women and girls amid growing concerns that current legislation is too narrow, according to the paper. The updated guidance is expected to legally oblige teachers to refer pupils who they suspect of extreme misogyny to the government's counterterrorism program known as PREVENT. Currently, teachers and healthcare professionals and local authority staff are required to make a referral to the program if they believe someone is susceptible to becoming radicalized. Well, now, we know from the Rotherham thing, the rape gangs, whatever you want to call it. We know from this that it was reported to the police and they just ignored it. One of the complaints from the protesters these past several weeks, which have been hand-waved off and dismissed with simple name-calling from the government, one of the protest complaints is two-tier policing, a two-tier justice system. They have refused to address this. And so, as they have refused to even admit that such a system exists, though apparently everyone pretty much in Britain can recognize it and understand it, and they observe that that is what is taking place, but the government has refused to even acknowledge its existence. So when they come out with this, instead of reassuring the people automatically know how this is going to be applied. Do you think they're going to go into the Muslim areas and say, oh, your Islamic teachings are too misogynistic? Does anybody really think that's going to, we know how this will be applied. These stupid speech laws are vaguely worded and they're applied very, very selectively. Maybe I've really not narrowed down why. I've mentioned several times because I've covered this topic several times because I find it very interesting because Britain is ahead of other Western countries, namely such as the U.S. They're ahead of the curve as far as their government is failing in legitimacy. We're all on the same trajectory. They're just a little further ahead. So you want to look ahead at what they're going through because the rest of us are going to get to see this in our own countries and in these Western democracies sooner rather than later. So if you want to know what's coming, you get an idea of what's going on in the UK. Now, I've talked about how incompetent the way this Labour government has handled the stabbing thing and the aftermath and obvious complaints from the citizenry. Now, how might they, it's easy to throw rocks, but how are you going, how would you, how would they better have handled it? I get it spit out here in a minute. How could they have better have handled it? They could have come out, made a speech, have this Keir Starmer come out, make a public speech, and act, put on his angry face. These people are all just actors anyway. They can play whatever role they need to play. Could have put on his angry face, made a speech, pounded the podium and says this and said this is outrageous. Our children should not be attacked in this manner. I am ordering a review. How did this person get radicalized? How were his parents allowed to come into the country and what was their background? And we're going to get to the bottom of this and we're going to make sure that all children can go to a Taylor Swift themed event without being stabbed. Of course, they wouldn't mean any of that. I'm not implying they would mean any of that or anything would come of it. But at least you feed the peasants a little bit of saying we're listening to you and we agree. It's a lie, but they could tell them that. And a certain number of the people outraged would say, well, they would at least feel as though they were being listened to. Instead, they came out and called everybody a far-right racist and told them to shut up. Instead, you have videos of the police walking around with armed immigrant gangs, like behind the police, being protected by the police. And the police, I saw one video where it appears that the police were leading them to the people protesting against the stabbing. They were leading an armed gang over here to the protesters that were protesting immigration and the stabbings. This is the level of incompetence that this Labour government has undertaken in the way they have handled this. They should download, pay me a lot of money to give them advice on how to. Let's see here. What do we got? For too long, governments have failed to address the rise in extremism, both online and on our streets. And we've seen the number of young people radicalized online grow, Cooper told the paper, pledging to close any gaps in existing policy that prevent the authorities from cracking down on violence. You've got a situation. The government, the system itself, is rapidly losing legitimacy in the eyes of the people. And because it's apparently amateur hour at the UK government, Their answer is to take these actions, which I'm reading through this, and it exasperates. It adds to that sense of illegitimacy because they have failed to even acknowledge the people's complaints of two-tier policing and a two-tier justice system. They look at this and they understand that this is only going to be applied to native Brits. It's not going to be applied to the immigrant communities. if you're going to use a term, again, undefined, of extreme misogyny, then where do you think there's more misogyny? If you're just an average person reading this story, where do you think more misogyny exists? In these immigrant communities or amongst the native Brits? Just as a matter of logical course, where do you think it's most likely to exist? And yet, when you read this story, where do you think these vaguely written laws are more likely to be applied? The comprehensive review of the PREVENT program, which is expected to be completed as soon as this autumn, will focus on developing an updated strategic approach that involves close collaboration between the government and communities. The measure comes as part of a new counter-extremism strategy that the Home Office expects to unveil by next year. And apparently, a counter-extremism simply means anybody who disagrees with the government. I saw a poll in another article, and I don't have the article in front of me, but you know, they were asking people in Britain, you know, and a significant portion, I believe the majority, if I remember right off the top of my head, in the poll said, well, the government's immigration policy is at least partially responsible for the recent unrest. Now, knowing how these hate speech laws are applied in Britain, in places like Britain, you have to suspect that the people answering the polls are very leery about answering these things in a way that could be viewed as a possible hate crime. Well, I would wager that a significant more people understand that the government's own immigration policy is a huge part of the problem, more so than the ones that were willing to answer that question in the polling. Again, an illegitimate, a system, a government that is facing a crisis of legitimacy is refusing to even pretend to address any of the people's concerns. The move is expected to address mounting concerns by who? Nobody is out there protesting in the streets and burning dumpsters, setting buildings on fire because they're concerned of extreme misogyny. So whose concerns? The move is expected to address mounting concerns, made up concerns by the government, about the influence of misogynistic figures who are seen as radicalizing teenage boys via various online platforms, the news outlet noted, citing... I'm sorry. I should be able to get through this without stopping. But again, this is amateur hour and it shows. Remember, the media is an extension of the government. It's not a separate entity. They sat around with the media, the Home Secretary, the government, sat around with the media, and this is what they came up with. You've got civil unrest, and this is the beginning, I'm telling you. This is just the beginning. I don't know what the next spark will be, but I can assure you it's coming, because the underlying problem is the government, the system itself, is facing a legitimacy crisis. I keep saying that. And I've been saying that since this broke out, because they continue to ignore it. And this is why I guess I'm so hung up on talking about it, is because I can't believe there's nobody there. They don't have any consultants. They don't have anybody hired who's competent enough to say, okay, we're going to have to frame a new narrative because we're facing a competency crisis. We're going to have to do something different. Otherwise, this thing's going to get out of hand. And just to see that this is what they came up with in the background of what all the civil unrest is going on in Britain. This is what they came up with. And it's so bad. It's so amateurish that I'm struggling. I'm sorry. I'm struggling to get through this. Misogynistic figures who were seen as radicalizing teenage boys via various online platforms, a news outlet noted, citing Andrew Tate, a controversial British-American influencer and self-proclaimed misogynist, as an example. Tate is currently awaiting trial in Romania over allegations of rape, human trafficking, and forming a criminal gang, to sexually exploit women. Andrew Tate. Seriously, the government, the entire democracy system is facing a crisis of legitimacy. And this is what they got? Andrew Tate? We need laws because Andrew Tate. Are they trying? This is a serious question because I don't know the answer. Are they trying to imply that the Rwandan who stabbed the little girls to death was a big follower of Andrew Tate? And because of Andrew Tate, he decided to go out here and do something which is a fairly common practice back in Rwanda. Is that the implication? Is that... See, they're selling a narrative. They're always selling a narrative. The media sells a story. The government creates a narrative. And they sell it to you. And here's a case where I'm not even sure what they're selling exactly. The narrative, they have failed to define the narrative so poorly. They've defined the narrative so poorly that I'm sitting here reading through it. And I'm generally pretty good, if I say so myself, at reading these stories, reading these press releases from the government, these government concocted marketing, obviously, a lot of them obviously go through focus groups. This one, not so much. And I usually can understand exactly what the government is trying to sell, what narrative they're trying to sell. 99.9999% of the time, that narrative is a lie. That's why they have to go through all these convoluted actions and try to dress it up. If you're just telling the truth, you tell the people and they're like, yeah, that's obviously what's going on. But when you're concocting a obvious lie, you got to dress the pig up. You got to try to sell it to them. You know, like those mystery vegan burgers they try to sell. What was it called? The mystery Whopper, the impossible Whopper. I'll tell you what's actually how they make that thing. Here we have a case. I can usually go through these kinds of stories and I understand what they're selling. You know, you can read it and you understand, okay, they're creating a narrative that this person is evil, or they're creating a narrative that, you know, Russia, like for instance, they've created this narrative that the Ukraine war is because Putin wants to rebuild the Soviet Union. And once the Ukraine falls, he's going to march the Red Army across Europe. It's stupid. It's an obvious lie, but I do understand the narrative. I understand what they're selling. This is so incompetent. Like I said, Liz Truss up to this point held the record for most incompetent government that lasted the least amount of time. It was a jolly good time, Liz Truss. This, they're making Liz Truss look like a genius because they've concocted this together. They obviously came up with this. They've got a plan. They sat down with their media toadies and they all got together to bring you this story. And I don't even know what the hell the narrative is. Andrew Tate, what the hell does Andrew Tate have to do with people setting dumpsters on fire in your streets? You know? Are we supposed, maybe the thinking is because they put out all these pictures of the Rwandan doing the stabbing, they purposely put out pictures of like when he was 10 freaking years old. And maybe they're thinking that people put that together. Maybe they've had psychologists come in and say, well, people have all seen these pictures of him as a little boy in his school uniform. And they're going to think, oh, well, he was just an innocent little lad. And he just because he got influenced by Andrew Tate. But I don't even, even that doesn't work because there's no connection here. They're just, it's like they have pulled this misogyny narrative straight out of their thin air. Did you like that? Thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? They pulled this out of thin air. It's like, I imagine, and again, I miss Finn being here because he could give me insight because I don't live in Britain and I'm not clued in, I'm not plugged in. But I cannot imagine, that having been said, I cannot imagine if I were in Britain, if I was a British subject, and I was sitting around looking what was going on in my country, and then I read this story, this would just seem so random to me. I'd be like, where the hell is this even coming from? What does Andrew Tate have to do with anything? The Home Office currently lists several categories of extremism, of course. Of course they do, including Islamist, extreme right wing, which is undefined, by the way, animal rights, environmental, and Northern Ireland related as areas of concern. Now, out of all of those areas, which areas does it appear to the casual looker, or to the casual onlooker, I should say, that they're most concerned about? The list also includes an online subculture called... I'm telling you, the Labour government policy is being written on Reddit. It has to be. It just has to be. The list also includes an online subculture called incel, short for involuntary celibate, in case you needed that. It's kind of like how they have to remind you that X is formerly known as Twitter over and over. This refers to a misogynistic worldview promoted by men who blame women for men's lack of romantic prospects. Now, I got to stop with that. It's going to get on a little side subject, but I've got to stop for just a second and ask this. Not to get off in the woods, not to get too far off in the bushes. I'm going to try not to do that. But I had a question pop into my head with this. And it's like, is there a narrative that the government, i.e. the media, i.e. the entertainment industry, i.e. all of them, has there ever been a narrative, have there ever been a situation to where anything negative was ever officially announced as being women's fault? Because I can't think of any. A misogynistic worldview promoted by men who blame women for men's lack of romantic prospects. Again, not to get off into that, but is the implication here is that this, once again, is men's fault. And yet, is there ever a situation when anything negative in society has been declared by the system to be women's fault? Because I'm telling you, I can't think of any. In the year ending March 31st, 2023, there were 6,817 referrals to the PREVENT program, marking an increase of 6.4% from the previous year. Statistics tracked by the government show, among them, 37% were categorized as vulnerability present, but no ideology of counterterrorism risk. Well, 19% were related to extreme right-wing ideologies, and 11% were associated with Islamist extremism. I'll go ahead. There's just one paragraph. Let's get through this. In February, a study conducted by UK telecommunications multinational Vodafone found that 70% of teachers had seen a rise in sexist language in their classrooms over the past year, while 69% of boys had encountered posts promoting misogyny. It also revealed that 42% of parents had heard their sons make inappropriate comments because of what they have seen online. Again, reading these stories and understanding the narrative they're trying to sell people, it's kind of what I do. You know, it's one of the things I do. I'm interested in, and I look at these things and I compare them to the truth, and they're most always a lie. But they create these narratives and they sell them. And again, I have no idea what they're even trying to sell here. I don't even know what they're trying to say. If they're implying that this Rwandan that stabbed these girls to death and stabbed all these people, well, he did this because of Andrew Tate, they should just say so. They're not. Because I guess even the media has a certain amount of, what do I want to say, slander could actually apply to them. And you have to know that if they did have that, they would say that, but they don't say it. They just threw Andrew Tate into the mix. All of this happening with the backdrop of this civil unrest that is going on in Britain. Again, an illegitimate failing system, a system that is failing due to a crisis of legitimacy. Nobody voted in Labor in a landslide because they woke up one day and said, we really like Labor's policy. They woke up one day and realized that when it came down to implementation, the Tories' policy was in practice no different than the Labor Party's policies anyway. So they just, by and large, the people decided to quit going along with the charade. They were done, you know, voting, pretending that the Tories were going to do something different, and they just quit voting for them. It wasn't because everybody for all these years didn't want Labor's policy and then changed their mind. They just quit going along with the charade. It doesn't matter that the media has tried to promote this as Labor winning in a landslide. Everybody suddenly is on board with the Labor Party. Instead of recognizing this and going, we've got a crisis here. We're starting to see a crisis of legitimacy in the system. We need to do some things and take some steps to keep people on board. Instead, you get this. Andrew Tate. What the? When they have this, they can't solve the problems. So they're obviously... What's happening here is they're obviously going out and inventing a problem. They inventing this problem out of the blue so that then they can pretend to be solving it. And this is their answer. When people are mad enough to start actually having violent protests in the streets, this is not a small problem. And your answer to this, seriously, your answer to this, instead of coming out and feeding some rhetoric you don't mean, pounding the table, threatening to get to the bottom of this, you know, instead of doing that, their answer is to invent this extreme misogyny. And again, if they were going to sell this, they should just come on out and say that the reason this Rwandan did the stabby stabby was because he'd been... I don't know, listening to Andrew Tate or whatever the hell. They're not even doing that. It's just all insinuation. You're supposed to read between the lines, you see. Associating with the pictures of when he was 10 wearing his school uniform. He looks like such a young, just such a fine, upstanding young British lad, doesn't he? No, he looks like a Rwandan dressed up in a British school uniform for some damn reason. Maybe it's a conspiracy. Maybe accelerationists have gotten into positions of power in the British system and they're accelerating to just burn the whole thing down. I don't know. Or it's just amateur hour. It's just amateur hour at number 10 Downing Street. I suspect it's probably the latter. By the time it's all over, the British people may be missing Liz Truss. Liz! She's going to get her justified revenge. She's going to get her justified revenge in the end. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you all have a great week. Be sure and check out our content here. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots. Don't want to miss it. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here with you on Wednesday for his Orthodox Nationalist show. Thursdays is his geopolitical centered, always good daily nationalist show. It's a must listen to. And I, as always, I plan to be back here unless something weird comes up. I do plan to be back here on Friday to wrap your week up with the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. So again, I hope you have a great work week. As always, keep the faith and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.